Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg, co-host Green Diva Lisa, and sidekick Green Dude Scott share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
All right. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lisa.
I like the dark shade of green. Can I be the dark?
The deeper shade of green, darker.
Yeah, the dark
green dude.
Right.
Dark side of green.
Got that
the
kind
dark
of,
dude.
The dark green dude, mysteriously and dark.
Did you notice the trees are changing already? What is that about?
I did notice.
Do you think it might have something to do with all the water that we've had?
I hope not, because
rain?
Wow.
Okay, before we get pondering all these important, you know, things of the universe, I just want to mention our online media partners that are helping us grow our Green Diva family. We've got care2.com, eatdrinkbetter.com, earthgarage.com, ecoseed.org, Green Revolution Radio out of Tucson, Arizona, feelgoodstyle.com, Grateful Dread Public Radio, that's gdreadradio.net. And I want to give a shout out to our newest sponsor, Essentia. Love Essentia. They've got the only natural memory foam bedding in the world.
By the way, they're having a Labor Day sale this weekend. But on their homepage, they've got a little quote from Oprah, one from Dr. Oz.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that getting a good night's sleep is important. And how many hours do we spend in bed every night? So
never
let's
enough.
Make it healthy and non-toxic.
Well, that's the thing. I was reading about all this outgassing that goes mm-hmm. on with some of these other
in
things.
Bed?
Yeah.
From the mattress.
Oh.
Not the
making sure because
yeah. the mattress fumes, honey. But
everything
anyway,
has its life, right?
What I love is that you can get all the natural comfort and support of the memory foam thing without all the toxins.
I'm feeling guilty now that I've learned about this because I gave my son my conventional memory foam mattress a couple years ago, and now I'm thinking, oh.
I think the outgassing slows down after a couple of years, though.
Well,
I hope
this
so.
Is what I – now, the toxins are used in most conventional mattresses in the production of them, and Essentia does not do that.
That's part of it.
That's part of it. Big issue here.
They're very green in many ways, and we'll learn more about them as things go on. But they have pillows, and they have other products. They have stores in New York and California and Canada.
Pet beds.
Yeah.
So, for your
baby.
Dogito.
And little baby beds.
Which are very important. Very important.
Yes, we don't want to toxify our kids.
Well, you know, they're sensitive.
And allergy-free.
They're sensitive.
No allergens.
And so you can find out more about Essentia on myessentia.com.
They are also 80% more breathable than conventional memory foam.
Oh, that's an issue.
Well, because, you know, yeah, those are, you know, laying them and it's kind of, you know, you feel the heat transference.
Those two are.
Well, you know, I mean, you've conventional foam mattresses, you lay on them, it's like,
Yeah?
Kind of, you know.
I don't know.
With these, they're breathable.
I've never slept on a conventional foam mattress.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't, but my pillow is one of those foam mattresses.
Maybe the memory foam.
Yeah, the memory foam. And maybe that explains a lot. But anyway, because now I have to get an Essentia one, see?
Mm-hmm.
And they're on sale.
Maybe I'll be smarter. Anyway, I also want to mention today we have our Green Diva correspondent is Marie Wilson from Los Angeles, who I think is actually calling us from San Francisco, but we will talk to her about what's going on out there and what she's up to. Our featured interview guest is Elizabeth Fournier, the Green Reaper. She is the funeral director of Cornerstone Funeral Services out in Boring, Oregon, and she's not the least bit boring. This woman is very interesting, entertaining, and lovely. And, you know, brings up and she makes it very easy to talk about a topic that really is difficult for a lot of folks to even think about.
Well, humor doesn't it, in conversation? And she's funny.
Now, we're going to start a new special segment that will be on every week for at least 6 months. It is sponsored by Essentia. It is called Sleeping Naked is Green. Which I thought was pretty perfect.
I must be very, very green.
You're very, very green, Scott.
Me too.
That's why you're a dark green guy.
Yes, I'm a dark shade of green. Yes. Okay, dark. Thanks.
But The Sleeping Naked is Green is actually the title of a book by a woman named Vanessa Farquharson. And it's a very, very funny journal of a year where she took every day and did something new and different green and journaled about it and her experiences.
She's based in Toronto, which is where Essentia is based. And
I don't know if they're are they in Toronto? Well, they're in Canada. We know that for sure.
Right. in any case, she was a journalist, and this became a mission of hers where she decided that she was going to change her footprint.
Well, one of the things I like about her journal is the fact that it's not hard to be green. I mean, there's little tiny things that you can do every day. You don't have to be nutty green.
Some of it gets nutty, but it's entertaining when she does.
Yes, but what I'm saying is she found something every
day. Well, there are 365.
Right, to do every day to be green, and
I love the tagline of this book, how an eco-cynic unplugged her fridge, sold her car, and found love in 366. So it's very, she's a very great, funny writer and introspective.
So there's a lot of fun little things. There's little things you can do, and there's dramatic things you can do.
What we're doing is just taking an entry and on a show and having a five-minute discussion around the entry for that day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. And but really now we just want to take a few minutes to talk about Irene and the aftermath, because here in our local area, we were hit very hard.
Yes. Our little town next to us is Denville, New Jersey. And it was the worst floods that they've had in
historic
floods. I've never seen Route 46 shut down because of floods. I've seen downtown near the river shut down before, but not Route 46, and for days, not just...
Well, there were people jet skiing down Broadway, Denville, actually.
Yes, they were.
Not
kidding. Let me say something about all the pictures and video I saw of people walking through floodwaters.
Oh, that's upsetting, isn't it?
Look, don't do it, okay? Between power lines, gas lines, debris...
Sewage?
It's a really, really, sewage, really, really bad idea. Okay. Yeah. It looks like fun, but, you know,
think of all of the things that spill into that water, from gas stations, from sewage, from all of that
stuff. People's garages and basements.
Dead animals.
Yeah.
Power lines.
It's a bad idea.
So anyway,
I would like to give a shout out, by the way, to some of our friends in Denville, some of the businesses that we support, and that is the Urban Muse and Grassroots of the Natural Food Store, and there was another one, Megan, right?
Urban Muse, Grassroots, Gearhart Chevrolet.
And,
you know,
they always have to relocate their vehicles every time.
They had some serious damage. And unfortunately, there's quite a few stores that are done. They didn't have flood insurance.
I remember seeing a post somewhere saying Save Sergio's, which is a restaurant, a high-end Italian restaurant.
It's not a restaurant. It's a high-end Italian
a delicatessen, that's right.
Where they bring in, really, they have this whole supply of really delicious Italian food from Italy, but they also cook there every day. And it is delicious. So there's a movement afoot to save Sergio's, because Sergio's was on that side of the street where the water went right into all the stores. And a lot of these stores did not have flood insurance.
No. And you know, if you drive down right now, you'll see a lot of people have all these stores. They're pulling their stuff out in the sidewalks to
And it's questionable whether or not they'll get assistance, federal or otherwise.
Yeah, so if you're in the neighborhood and the stores are open, support those stores and other towns. There's lots of towns in New Jersey and up and down the Northeast.
Well, I just want to say that it was an interesting experience, as these things always are. And I'm very fortunate. We had no significant damage. We did have our basement. I had Rescue Me episodes. I loved it. My local fire department, who I'm going to give a shout out to, the Booton Township Fire Department, because they were very responsive.
Yes,
and
they were big help.
We had 3 feet of water in our basement twice because our sump pumps. And that was funny. I was spelling sub pump, S-U-B. Pump. I didn't know sump.
Well, subs
sump?
Need pumps, but that's not what you have in your basement.
But what's a sump? Anyway, so our sump pumps were crapping out because it just was overwhelming. And we live near the Rockaway River. And
We were out of electricity for 3 days. And I just Anytime there's a big change like this, I embrace it. Not everybody around me embraces it, I can assure you. But I do. I think, okay, here's an opportunity to live differently. So we didn't have electricity. I read some great books, some books that have been sent to us that we're supposed to review that I haven't had time to or taken the time to read. And I'm totally inspired by some of the stuff I read. I'll be happy to share it with you when I finish these books. And so there's you get to know your neighbors. People were sitting outside in our neighborhood in the evenings because it was so dark.
Amazing,
inside.
Isn't it? Let's go back a few hundred years.
I really wanted to emphasize how important I think it is during these times to make sure your neighbors are okay, check on your family. Mm-hmm. Because all of my family locally did not have electricity for days. They came to my house to check on check their computers.
To check internet and have coffee.
Oh, yeah.
We miss coffee.
Well, in my tech segment, we'll talk about some alternatives to electrifying yourself.
And I have some repurposing comments and things to talk about and in my segment as well.
So, I mean, the silver lining of all these things is luckily we're all okay.
Yes.
You know, it's just stuff that got some damage. It's hard to drive down the street and see the piles and piles of things that people have pulled out of their basements and their garages and the things that got flooded. But we are all okay. And as a community, it's nice to see people kind of, checking in on each other. I think I had the first conversation I've ever had with the older gentleman that lives across the street from me, who kind of usually scowls at me. But I really made an effort, and he was very friendly. And I was glad to check to make sure he was okay.
Yeah. And maybe it's a little humbling. We'll find out if we get rid of some of our stuff. Maybe we don't need as much stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So, unplugging, right? Anyway, I'm going to cut this short because we have Green Diva Marie on the phone.
Right on.
Her Green Diva Report. Marie, you're on the air.
Hello. How are you?
Well, we're okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm glad we were able to connect.
Yeah. Are you in San Francisco?
Not yet. I'm at the airport.
Oh, wow. Aren't we lucky?
Yeah, I'm in between, so.
All right.
Yeah, but that's why I'm so happy we were able to connect. So it was perfect.
Oh, good. Good.
Yes. The one thing I want to talk about today is candles. And the reason I want to talk about that is because I have a lot of people the birthday is coming up, and that's my main gift giving because it's so great. And I didn't realize as I came across some information that I'm hurting my friends that I'm giving candles to instead of, a gift of generosity. It's more of a health hazard.
Mother, what is the health hazard, by the way?
Well, I started looking at paraffin candles versus soy candles, and the toxins in paraffin candles is just overwhelming. I can list all the toxins and stuff. There are all these long words that I can't even pronounce, but they trigger a lot of allergies and they just cause a lot of problems. And a lot of these toxins are even used for industrial purposes.
Oh.
And we're breathing this stuff. And
and
I started feeling guilty that I was giving these candles to my friends. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm the worst friend ever.
Well, no. So a paraffin candle is like the normal candles we use are paraffin, like the ones that we traditionally have used?
Yes. And it's basically considered bottom of the barrel after asphalt is extracted. So, paraffin is just a byproduct in petroleum, in the petroleum refining chain. So it's kind of nasty.
Yuck.
So I started looking into soy, which is much cleaner, obviously. There's no toxins, no pesticides, no herbicides, and, you're being good to your friends.
Wow. Well, it's very relevant. It's relevant today because we were just talking about having no power. And, when you have no power at night, it's candles for the most part, unless you have a generator.
There you go. Yeah, I think a few places needed it this week, didn't they?
Oh, we did. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I did have we had a choice of these little, electric light or, battery powered lights and stuff. But the light that it gave off was so unpleasant that we actually preferred having the nice candlelight.
Yeah, that's what we use. We use candles.
You know what? It's really pretty, and it creates such a nice mood, and it's very relaxing, and there's something soothing about that kind of light, which is a reason I give that as a gift. It's just very calming. But, you know, I just want to make sure that my friends aren't having, problems
yeah.
down the line.
That's right. You're contributing to their asthmatic responses. Now, so soy doesn't really have, then, any of these effects.
There's some great companies I found. Willowcandles.com has some beautiful, beautiful candles. They are all natural. I might not be pronouncing this correctly, but carlesimo.com, M-C-A-R-L-E-S-I-M-O, also has amazing candles. The scents are just breathtaking. And there's also this one other company, which is also soy and organic. It's called B-Sabi, and it's just pronounced, it's just the letter B-S-A-B. And they have some amazing candles also. So there's a lot of companies that are coming out and going this direction, which is nice to see.
Now, one of my questions would be, I can hear you're getting called for your plane soon, I think. One of my questions would be the price difference. Have you found that there's any significant price difference? Are they expensive?
You know what? As far as gift giving goes, mainly most of the really nice candles that I give are in the $25 range, and these candles are comparable to that. It's I would say $25 to $28 for a nice big size candle. So there's not much of a price difference there. And it lasts longer too. Soy candles burn up 50% longer than traditional candles, you're getting more bang for your buck.
Well, there you go. Well, because I'm making a note to myself to stock up on those candles for the next time.
Some of us need to restock.
Yeah. We had to restock. So check out the soy and organic candles, because obviously it's an important health issue. Well, Marie, I hope you have a wonderful trip. What a great idea. Thank you for the topic. And we will post all of the fun sites and information that you gave us today on our website, thegreendivas.com.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me, and I'm glad it worked out.
Have a great trip. We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye, Marie.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We're going to go on a break now, and we'll be back with much more information, so please stay tuned.
Are you a foodie or eco-fashionista, or just curious about matters relating to sustainable food and eco-style? Important Media has some of the best blogs on the internet for practical and easy-to-use information from some of the most experienced green bloggers on the internet. Join the Green Divas on two of our favorites, eatdrinkbetter.com and feelgoodstyle.com, and learn and share more about easy green living. Find out about all the Important Media blogs at importantmedia.com.
Welcome to Green Light with the original Green Diva, Megan McWilliams. Useful ideas for low-stress green living straight from the Fun Green Divas radio show.
Want to help your pets go green? Some fun and useful ideas coming up in a moment. I want Green Diva nails without all the nasty toxic chemicals.
I've got the solution. I just tried this G2 Organics non-toxic odor-free nail polish and remover. Did I mention odor-free? Look at my gorgeous toes. And you should see the colors. The colors are great. And the best part? Each one comes with its cool little touch-up tube.
And I guess since it doesn't smell, you can whip it out anywhere. The touch-up tube, I mean. Find out more at G2Organics.com.
If you have a dog, cat, bird, horse, ferret, or other living creature from the animal kingdom that you share your life and home with, you'll want to learn about natural pet care products that are not only safer for your furry or feathered friend, but also easier on the environment too. Here are some websites and blogs that I recommend. For safe, natural, and earth-friendly toys and treats, westpawdesign.com. For an amazing array of eco-friendly pet products, ecopets.com. For news on a variety of natural pet ideas and products, care2.com. For great in-depth stories on all things pets, petnewsandviews.com.
To find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcast, visit thegreendivas.com.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
Welcome back to our little show here, the Green Divas show. Radio show. Our little shoe. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
Green Dude Scott. Green Dude Scott.
And Green Diva Lisa.
Dark Mysterious.
Dark.
You got to come up with a fun, that is kind of funny. Anyway, I just wanted to also mention to please find us on Facebook. We've been communicating with our Green Diva family there on Facebook. You just look up Green Divas Radio Show and hit the like button.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're growing our, and we're still doing our little
giveaway
mm-hmm. for G2 yes. Organics. So if you go to Facebook and like us and mention G2 Organics on our wall, you will be in the running for G2 Organics products. And if you want to find out more, go to G2Organics.com. They are some luscious organics.
So what we're looking for is to reach 3,000. And it won't be the 3,000th person. We will draw from a hat to...
Yes, and we'll do it live.
And that's so everybody will have a chance.
Yeah, we'll do it live. It'll be very exciting.
Yes, drum rolls and everything.
Meanwhile, you can follow me on Twitter also at Green Diva Meg. And Lisa?
Lisa...
You're at Green Diva Lisa.
Oh, I'm...
She's like a Lisa.
I forgot. I'm sort of new at the Twitter Green. Thing.
And then our blog is thegreendivas.com. And what we do every week is we kind of... Our silent Jesse here, our associate producer, lists all of the links and resources and things that we talk about so that we can...
So if you don't catch it, why? Because you're driving or whatever, then... Check us out on, and it's thegreendivas.com, thegreendivas.com.
.com. It sticks in your head, doesn't it, man?
Advertising is
brilliant.
Great.
Marketing. Oh, well, it's not ours. Anyway, this is our first, we're going to do a segment called Sleeping Naked is Green. And as I mentioned in the top of the show, it's a book by a woman named Vanessa Farquharson. Boy, I got to work on making
it's
sure
it's a tough
I
name. It's hard name to read, actually.
Yeah.
But
it's a fun book, and it's how an eco-cynic unplugged her fridge, sold her car, and found love in 366 days.
Well, she was sleeping naked. She was going to find love.
She wrote a very fun book. So today we are going to pick a topic to talk about. And we had a topic picked, but 5 minutes ago someone wanted to change it with a good idea.
Lisa.
Okay,
that would
let's
be
blame
me.
Her.
It's my well, it occurred to me that we were just talking about living without electricity.
Yeah.
And
okay. So one of the things that it was it the April 19th turn off my freezer? That one?
Yeah.
It started with turn off my refrigerator.
Oh, okay.
I think
she
no,
turned
that's
off the
true.
Freezer first
she,
and then in June.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
She turned off the freezer first.
June she turned off. Oh.
Then she turned off the freezer. And what she learned was how few things really do need refrigeration. I mean, there are some things, milk and that sort of thing. She did have a cooler for a little while just to keep things that she brought home cold. Colder. And of course, she lived in a city, so she could shop every day and pick up anything fresh that she needed. But the things like strawberries and fruits and vegetables that we think, you know, if you look in your grocery store, there's so many things that are not refrigerated, and they actually do worse when you refrigerate them.
And we take them home and throw them in the refrigerator. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Kidding.
And then when they, once they are refrigerated, then they have to stay refrigerated, and it breaks them down differently. So, and there's things that last longer. Like if you stop drinking cow's milk and you drink almond milk, then almond milk actually lasts a lot longer than regular milk, and things like that.
When there's so many reasons to do that anyway, it's not going to hurt anybody.
Right. So it was a big deal. I'm not sure I can turn off my refrigerator. But you know what I will do in the next home that I have is that I will consider having a much smaller refrigerator.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have teenagers, so there's no such thing. But
there's, you'd be surprised about how much of that stuff doesn't have to be in the refrigerator.
Right. What if the USDA has a site? They have a lot of information on preserving and caring for foods.
Really? Yeah. You could dry your meat. But what I think it would be just a shift in thinking about how you plan meals for the week.
Oh, that's
or how
very
you
important.
Plan meals.
Right.
It is a daily thing. Now, she had the opportunity to walk down to the markets and get, you know, food. It might be a little bit harder, but I think, I think that's the way it used to be done in the neighborhood, in the village.
Well, of course. You know. Absolutely.
Oh, sure.
You killed a chicken. Whatever. Well, you walk down to the market and you buy a chicken or whatever food you're going
to
eat.
I don't think we have to go that far back.
I know.
But I mean,
no,
what I'm saying
we're Green Divas after all.
Let's go.
Planning, yes, Divas. Planning meals for the week is huge. Not only does it make sense for, you know, not wasting food, but financially it makes a huge
You can buy in bulk and prepare things ahead of time.
You plan your meals, you're not buying a bunch of junk.
Well, see, here's the thing. When you unplug the freezer, whether you unplug the refrigerator and the freezer, but you specifically the freezer, my freezer, I don't know about yours, is full of prepared meals and frozen, you know, prepared foods. So if I'm unplugging my freezer, I don't have frozen corn in there, and I don't have, you know, that yummy Amy's meal that's like a complete little, you know.
Why do you freeze corn, though, of all things that lasts a long time?
Frozen vegetables. Well, there's a concept that a lot of vegetables that come off a field when they've been farmed get frozen faster and retain their vitamins.
Right, better than canned.
Better than, actually even better than getting fresh to the market.
Sure.
Of course, then you want to be sure not to microwave it afterwards.
Yeah, let's kill it.
So what
we're doing is eating less processed, less prepared, and more fresh daily.
Healthier.
And you're also going to then end up eating more local seasonal food because, you know.
That's right. Which, of course, makes for a better footprint in the big picture.
And healthier, and everybody lose weight, and everybody's happy now. So we've just solved the world's problems right there.
Is that what I need to do then?
Unplug your fridge, and the world will be a better place.
Oh, my goodness. That could be interesting. Well, I couldn't find the entry in the book because we weren't prepared for this particular one today.
It's my fault, but you get the idea.
And I think it is something to think about, and I wish I could find it because she really does have so many fun ways. Jesse's going to find it for me because I'm stumbling around. But she has such a nice way of describing things and how she does. And she has some good ideas. Jesse found it. It is in the June 25th, day 117 for her. At first when I unplugged it, there was fear. I've never known a life without refrigeration. And I don't think any of this room would have.
Well, we had it last week, and it was scary.
It is, isn't
it? We threw out food that was spoiling very rapidly, but it was, you know, tropical warmth, and it was uncomfortable. And I hated to do it, but we were without power for, 4 days?
But what about just having, like, a party in your neighborhood and just everybody barbecuing all the meat they've had in their refrigerator in there? Seriously.
That did happen in some neighborhoods, actually. Yeah. People got together because they were already outside. They were getting to know each other anyway, if they didn't already know each other. And they were pooling their resources and making big meals and sharing them.
Well, I just want to say we're going to be doing the Sleeping Naked is Green segment every week. I want to just close by saying that, again, it is sponsored by Essentia, and you can find out more about the world's only natural foam mattresses at myessentia.com.
Comfy and non-toxic. What's that?
God, you got to love it.
Pillows, too.
So let's go continue talking about the aftermath of Irene, because there are other hurricanes, other disasters that, you know, are relevant.
Well, we had an earthquake first.
There was that. That's right.
That was a lot.
Where's the pestilence? Does anybody see locusts in our future? You know?
I've been sort of thinking about that and thinking about this as an opportunity. A lot of people are going to have to renovate different parts of their houses because of these things going on. So I'd like to put it out there to start thinking about different things that you can do and things to think about. It's so overwhelming to have your house flood and lose all your furniture and have to redo stuff and all of that. But if you just take the time, prioritize what to spend your time on and take the time to think about what materials you're going to use when you redo these things, Think about paint. And I always approach these things when I'm prioritizing is what's going to affect my children's children. So think long term. Think about the kind of flooring you're going to use. Think about the different products you're going to use. And there's some websites that I looked at and found. One was Healthy Healthybuilding.net.
I don't know. Jesse's writing it down. But
I know.
Again, all this stuff will be on the website.
So there's healthybuilding.net. And the other one that I found was greenbuildingsupplies.com. And I'm sure there are a lot more. I didn't actually spend a lot of time researching in terms of where you can find these things and what the answers to the question. But like we talked about with these conventional mattresses, is that there's a lot of outgassing that goes on. So think about the drywall that you find out about what drywall you're going to use, what paint you're going to use, what flooring you're going to use, things like that. And that's, I'm sort of taking up my repurposing.
Yeah.
You may have to buy new light bulbs. You may have to do plumbing. Think about the PVC that you might have to use. Is it,
the pipes, you know, yeah.
The kinds of pipes, and, you know, do a little research on that and protect yourselves and your children and your children's
children.
Well,
it's an opportunity to think about those things. And, you know, hopefully the budget isn't going to be all that much different by picking some of these
materials.
Well,
that's another thing to do a little research locally. There are certain incentives for using, if you have to buy new appliances, you get that there's incentives in some regions where you can get financial incentives for buying energy,
you know,
and energy windows if you have to replace windows.
I think, Jesse, look it up. There's a really cool supply business called Green Depot, like Home Depot, only Green Depot.
Uh-huh.
And I believe they have a store in Newark, New Jersey, and I know they have one in Brooklyn. If they're still around, I hope they are. Jesse will look them up. But they're handy for us local folks in this region that have been most affected right now.
And the other good thing about going online, if you can do that and do some research, is finding out how things should be priced. If you notice that somebody's gouging the price, that is illegal. So please do, you know, report people that are gouging prices, because this is not the time to be gouging prices.
Yeah, I'm hoping that a lot of these suppliers will offer discounts and help support, you know.
You mean like bottled water doubling in price last week?
Yeah, that's actually illegal.
Yeah, well, they did it.
The other thing is, this is a good time to think about those hot water on demand units if you have to replace your hot water heater. It's a great time to consider using vinegar instead of bleach when you're demolding your places and that sort of thing. And if you have to go and buy new things, another thing to do is go online to the stores. If you're buying something from Sears or Target or wherever or Home Depot or wherever, Green Depot, wherever you go to purchase things, go online and look for coupons. Almost every store has a coupon online.
Yeah.
So it might be a way to save some money when you're making choices to maybe spend a little more money, but to do the right thing.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Now, Scotty, you had a couple of ideas about, you know, generators.
You know, we have to admit we live with a lot more electronics now than we used to. So power outages and, you know, loss of power is huge for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is that the amount of energy that we use is pretty big. I mean, you have to buy a rather expensive generator if you really want to live like you've been living during a power outage. You can't run refrigerators. Anything with a motor or a compressor it takes a lot of energy. Anything that heats water, including coffee makers, uses
speaking
a great
of coffee
of
mater- makers, that's what our brother Doug, when he was trying to make espresso, his espresso machine kept knocking out the generator.
Yep.
His espresso machine.
Oh,
well, he had to have an espresso during the storm. But
I know.
Well, basically, you know, there's other things. If you need light, you know, especially if you have, you know, somebody elderly that you're caring for or children, there are many ways that you can, you know, have electricity without major expense. One of the things that we did is I bought a voltage converter and attached it to the car battery and had enough power to run lights and television and computers.
Really?
Very inexpensive.
Clever guy.
You're not using, I mean, yes, you don't have to necessarily run your vehicle during that. Obviously, you need to maintain the strength of the battery.
Yeah.
You don't want to kill a battery in your vehicle, but just attach it to the car battery and ran the extension cord to wherever we needed it. That was the least expensive way. Of course, we would like people to use a renewable source like solar, and those systems are available. The one that I found that I liked the best was called the Phono, Phono, Solar 1800. It's only 1,400 watts, 1,440 actually.
And describe to me what that means.
Well, that means you're not going to run your refrigerator.
Okay. So maybe lights? You get some lights.
Basically lights. You're going to
maybe
a
laptop.
Your computer.
Laptop.
Certainly you can charge your electronics and run your computer on that.
How expensive is that system?
Well, it's $1,500.
Wow.
But that's what I'm saying. You can't get it cheap.
Yeah.
That's the problem with generating your own electricity. Now,
yeah.
Something like this would run a small cabin. If you ran maybe just a small refrigerator, you could possibly do that. But you wouldn't be able to run much else.
What about those bicycles that create energy? Can you move it around your house?
Know.
Can you ride for a while and get your refrigerator going?
Can you
ride for a while and watch television? Can you ride?
Gilligan's Island? What is this? I don't know.
Like you get a
I've
reward.
Been seeing these. I haven't done any homework on them yet, but I have seen these things.
Now, I think we have to go for a break, quick break, and then I think we have Elizabeth Fournier waiting for us. So let's go on our break, and please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What's with the slingshot? I haven't seen a slingshot since I was about 10.
Oh, I've been launching seed bombs in the ugly gray spots in my neighborhood. Can't wait to see what sprouts.
Come again?
A creative company called Greenaid makes these clay balls that are regionally, specific seeds and offers them by internet and even vending machines around the country.
That is so cool. Can I borrow this? I want to shoot some bombs in my neighborhood.
Find out more about seed bombs at greenaid.co.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
All right. Welcome back.
We're about to have a brawl in the studio.
I know everybody's so playful today, which is nice. It's like the fun after the storm, right?
Yeah, we survived. Yay.
Yay.
Wasn't that bad.
Well, anyway, welcome back to the Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lisa.
Green Dude Scott.
Dark Green Dude Scott.
The dark side of
green. I've got to work on that one. Let's go right to our featured guest, our featured interview, Elizabeth Fournier. Elizabeth?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I am wonderful, so wonderful to chat with you again.
Yeah, we've missed you. It's we needed a dose of Elizabeth today.
That we did, some levity.
Yeah, so we've had some weather. I don't know if you've heard us talking about our recovery from, flooding,
Hurricane
earthquakes,
Irene.
And pestilence.
I heard your basement was a bit soggy.
It was.
So anyway, I'm hoping to hear a little bit, and I just want to remind folks that I said in the beginning, Elizabeth is affectionately known as the Green Reaper. She is a funeral director of Cornerstone Funeral Services. Is that correct? Did I say
That's
it right?
That's the one.
Excellent. And we will put a link to her Cornerstone Funeral Services website on our homepage. Anyway, tell us what's the latest in green funerals.
I just came from a family's home, actually. They live about half an hour from here, and we're excavating a grave this morning. We're taking a look. We're getting the bulldozer in line. We're taking away the sod, and we're making a really lovely resting place for an older woman.
Aw.
That sounds lovely.
Interesting.
Yeah, and your listeners might not know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, please share.
A little backstory there. I live in Oregon, and many, many, many counties, and including the one that I live in here, allows people to be buried on private land. There's, of course, some rules and regulations which need to take hold, and a lot of places need to be rural. But something that I like to do for people in the funeral world is actually allow them to get some guidance on taking the steps to do this. And we are having a lot of people out in the rural area here take advantage of that. And they're saying, hey, I've lived on my family farm for three generations or four, or I've got this huge piece of land and I don't want to leave it. And I would feel more at ease if I'm actually buried here. So all you need is a grilling mine and some land and a backhoe, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would, traditionally we always kept family close and they were buried on, similar property back when we were agrarian and all had our family plots.
Right, there were little family plots on the hill or whatever, yeah.
It's interesting.
Oh, and I don't think we can do that here in New Jersey for a lot of reasons.
That state does not allow it, but I think as time goes on, it really makes the consumer need to speak out about what they want. I think that's how it is with all rules, pretty much. Not necessarily a revolt of the people, but if enough people are calling the local moratorium board and saying, hey, this is something I want, or the local county land planning, zoning division, whatever you people have, and I think that's how laws kind of move.
Where, Elizabeth, if somebody wanted to find out how green they can go in their funeral planning, where can they find out state to state?
Each state normally, you know, that's a great question. It all depends. A lot of times there's a state rule which oversees all of this. I always tell people, go to your county and look on your county's website and go to something which says land planning. Or call your county building. Some counties are regulated by townships. Some really think that the city ordinances take hold, so that is a little bit of tricky of a management. And sometimes what you'll find is if you do call, you'll get a bit of a runaround because there won't be much on the books. So they'll say, well, call the county health department. Well, you know, maybe you should talk to your to the state. And you kind of get that back and forth because really a lot of this law isn't written anyplace. And the person who you're talking to just really doesn't want to be taking the responsibility for having to dole out any information.
Also, is there an association of green funeral professionals that people can find out who does this service that's close to them?
Yes, I would say take a look. Go to the Green Burial Alliance is a good one to look for. The also Funeral Consumers Alliance is a good one. There's a couple that way. I have a group on Facebook called Green Burial Portland, which has a lot of information in there as well. And also, if you want to, somebody can go ahead and just email me here at the funeral home, and I can let people know who to go to the different states as well.
That's great.
Yeah, excellent. Do you want to give us your website?
Sure. My website is cornerstonefunerals.com.
Excellent. And we'll make sure we post that.
Yeah, just email me there if you have any questions whatsoever. I'm more than happy to kind of get you started on the right foot. And if I don't already know the answer or have it in my analogs of notes, I can definitely research it and get you to the right place. Most of us belong to the Green Burial Council who are willing to help you with these things. But there's a lot of people out there who are saying, hey, yeah, the Oregon Trail kind of went through, and if somebody passed away, they're buried, or, you know, I would like to keep my loved one at home. And the idea of having a home funeral and not having a funeral director have to come in and make it so sanitized and just whisk my loved one out of here. I think a lot of people are really kind of taking it on their own. There's a lot of funeral midwives.
Wow.
And there's a lot of, it's kind of like the death midwife. That's what they're kind of calling it nowadays.
Interesting.
And there's just wonderful people who are saying, hey, let me... I'm not legally licensed to do this, but let me help you and assist you, and let me come bring some dried ice so your loved one can stay here, and let me kind of give you some knowledge and talk to you and give you some tools to work with.
Well, when we're talking about burying someone in our own private property, now New Jersey, that's not likely to happen in many places because there just isn't enough room. But I know there are so many other options to consider for a green or natural and more personal funeral. There's so many different options. And
one of which I spoke about a couple weeks ago when I was doing one of my repurposing segments, and that was Eternal Reeves, which was where you take your what's left over your cremains, excuse me, and they put them in cement, and they're helping build up the ocean reefs by placing them in these reefs. So there's so many good reasons to do that.
Have you ever done that?
That sounds great. I love the fact you know about that. I love the fact you spoke about it. And I love the fact that you tied that together with a repurposing show.
That's repurposing.
There's so many things you can do to help that way. That cremains can go to do healing things, for instance, such as you can make art. People sometimes use the cremains And the problem from a couple of years ago is, let's turn that into a diamond, and then the child or whoever can wear a diamond on their neck that has mom's ashes in it. You also can have that turning into some sort of a paint, and that portrait can be painted with mom's ashes. Something that also people are totally aware of is there is now embalming fluids which are eco-friendly.
Really?
If you really aren't okay with cremation and you want to have, you're not really ready for a burial, which is kind of a direct, the person passes away and then they go directly into the ground. If you really want to have a visitation, you want to spend more time, want to take your loved one to church or for a ceremony, there are embalming fluids. So keep that in mind if you want to go to your local funeral home when the time comes for one of your loved ones and ask them about that. And if it's something that they necessarily don't have on their shelf, they definitely have access to it. Companies do sell those things, and that has no formaldehyde and has other preserving methods in it, but it's a little bit, it's definitely more natural.
Right.
That's
and a little
good to know.
Less damaging, ultimately, to the environment.
Yes, right. Because what we think about when we're thinking about green stuff is not to be trendy, but hey, how can we put less chemicals out into the world, and how can we put less chemicals and metals and all of this stuff into the soil and have it leach into the ground and the groundwater and all that. So it's a matter of, let's just play it safe for generations to come.
It's fabulous that there are so many choices now. Because it has been a problem for me in the past, thinking, well, what am I going to do? They won't let me.
Yeah.
And now there are choices. I love this.
Yeah, stuff is coming up all over the place, which is interesting. Australia has something now called vertical burial, where they decided most people want to be buried, but the idea of doing horizontal, you're looking at a grave which is about 8 feet. And now if you're going to go ahead and do something vertical, you're just having kind of a two-by-two sort of square. Somebody is in a little cylindrical sort of tube or stack, and down they go. And that you can put so many more people in some sort of a memorial park.
How did we not think of that sooner?
Yeah.
Standing room only.
Yes. Clever boy.
It's not very restful sleep, but I think you're very aerodynamic on your ascension to heaven. So I think that there's I don't know. When these things come up, we have a lot of logical pieces where the head says, oh, gosh, what a great idea. But if people sit and think about it, do they really want grandma not resting in that position that they're used to thinking of? All of that stuff comes along, too, I think, in so many ways.
Interesting.
Think about the idea.
Yeah, like it's tiring to think about standing up for eternity.
Yeah, well, you're not there, of course.
But,
I'm like waiting in line with everybody else. So, I think that our hearts always rule those things. That's why in Sweden, they freeze-dry people. Mm-hmm. You can be freeze-dried.
Really?
Jerky.
Broken up in little pieces, and you're basically can be composted out in somebody's garden.
Wow.
Well, in Sweden, there's a high population of people who don't believe in God. There isn't that idea of, they're very land-based and they're very earth-based.
Now,
so
come on,
it's
that's
for them to get their head around it, where Americans still really have a hard time with that one.
It's a new idea. I only have heirloom tomatoes, it's heirloom tomatoes.
Right. Your juicy goodness or your freeze-dried goodness can go back into the soil.
It has to be less toxic than having, your ashes burnt and the fire and the smoke and all that,
too. Cremation is, right.
Yeah, your cavities, the mercury inside the cavities and all of that kind of goes up into the smoke as well. So cremation isn't the most environmental. I think people think of it as environmental because you take up less space.
Right.
But really, all of that stuff is going up into our ozone. So when it comes to dying, there is no pretty way. There is no perfect way. But we are really working on trying to find a way that is better for the planet, and also is just a little bit easier for the family. And I have to say, when I go to people's homes and their loved one is able to stay at the home and the family can come together and view them as they pass, where they pass, they can build them some sort of a casket themselves, or they can take a nice wool blanket and make a cocoon for them, or just do something really hands-on like that, and then take them and transport them out to a place at the home. I have found those families have healed quicker, have come together more as a unit, and I've just seen so much beauty come out of that.
Yeah, it does. It does feel, in thinking about it, much more of a healing process to be able to be
part of that process, right?
Yeah, well,
sure. You're given the opportunity to love and care for that person as they pass on.
Just the way it used to be, really.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, you're not making a phone call and saying, "Okay, Undertaker, come with your hearse and come move this because this person is no longer one of us, and this is something we don't want to deal with." What has really happened is a little history on embalming and funeral homes and what have you. Do I have a few minutes there?
Well, you have about a minute, and then I wanted to just mention your book real quick, too.
Oh, okay. So I'll let you know real quick. Men came along and became the undertakers and became the embalmers because education had to come in to play for embalming. During the Civil War, we had to put our boys on trains to get them home.
Oh.
So the boys came over. Before that, it was the women who would always be the layers of the dead and take care of things. Well, now it's reverting, and now we have about 60% of women in the funeral homes. So now we're embracing home funerals, and now we're embracing hospice and all that.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. I never thought about that.
To the Goyles.
Oh, now wait a minute. Now hold
sorry,
on.
Sorry, Scotty.
Yeah, you boys are up business.
Well, yeah, it is about a hole.
It is about that nurturing.
It is. Mm-hmm. I agree.
We have that innate ability.
Well, and a sensitivity to create a kind of healing goodbye. And
well, if you think about the hands-on, hands-off of birth and death, obviously women have an intimate relationship with the giving of life and bringing forth life. That
well, I've always heard it said that dying is just the opposite of being born, and that the folks who help in hospice are like the midwives.
Mm-hmm.
You're just ushering them into to the other side. You know, and I like that concept. Elizabeth, are you still promoting your book, your wonderful book?
I am. Yeah, all men are cremated equal. My 77 blind days. Promoting that, and I'm also working on my second, The Green Reaper. That's in stages of development.
Wonderful.
But, yeah, thank you for mentioning the book. That's fun.
Yeah. Keep us posted so we can read the new one. I'm eager to hear it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for taking the time to call us this morning. And we'll be in touch and have you back soon and get any updates that what's going on in the green and healthy funeral. I don't know how to put it. You probably could say
we're
it better.
Changing.
Yeah, the world of green. We're just, you know, if you live green in your daily life and you walk the walk, then, you know, you can probably play that into death, too. It's just
that
keep it moving forward.
Well, thank you for calling.
Okay, I'm glad Irene didn't treat you too poorly.
Yeah, no, we're okay. Thanks.
Good. All right.
Bye-bye, Elizabeth.
Thanks so much for having
me back. Bye.
When I was doing some research for my repurposing segment, I did also come across a barbecue restaurant outside of Orlando.
Oh, wait, where are you going with this?
Was repurposing the building to become a funeral home.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Isn't that funny?
Well,
yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah, you were looking nervous there.
Like,
yeah.
Like,
barbecue. Oh, that didn't sound
yeah.
Right.
Eat your loved one. Barbecue.
Oh, that's upsetting. Well, Scott, you had mentioned something about Essentia on the break.
They're biodegradable.
They're biodegradable.
That nasty old mattress isn't going to sit in the landfill.
There's just so many reasons to consider Essentia for sure.
Now, it's not like it's going to biodegrade, you know. They're very durable. I think, what is it, 20-year? There's an issue with that. Where is it, 20-year? They have a 20-year lifespan at least.
Yeah, yeah. But they're not like
that's
150.
That's better than most mattresses.
Well, most mattresses, they say, have about an 8-year life. So.
Right, that's because they're toxic and nasty and so on, and they you can't wash them. But these are hardy,
cool,
breathable, biodegradable.
So find about Essentia on myessentia.com. Giving them another shout out. Next week, we have an interesting woman named Shannon Coulter, and she's the director of community from an organization called One Block Off the Grid, which is helping folks create small communities to join together and buy solar. So if you don't want to buy solar on your own, because, you know, for various reasons, I think it's a great idea.
Co-op solar. It's a great
idea. Co-op solar. So we'll find out more. And she's also written an article about the power of women in buying solar, and that the mistake the industry is making is not focusing their marketing enough on women. Right? You're giving me slant eyes, but I think it makes a lot of sense. So anyway, I think we have
solar
to go.
Walk lights?
Yeah, well, candles. Anyway, it's been a great week. Everybody, I hope your recovery from Irene locally is you know, moving along.
I know there's still people out there without power.
Yeah.
A week later.
So please, neighbors, check on your neighbors and your family. And everybody have a great green week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.